Thank you for downloading this episode of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and give us a rating and review on iTunes. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
This week on JBT Pod. It's been a short week in the JBT week, but we've still got a lot to discuss in a new edition of the Busick-Manuel Scale. In this new edition, we'll be touching on DeAndre Jordan's future with the Clippers, the Cavs being the best team in the Eastern Conference again, and is Billy Donovan in danger of losing his job? As always, we've got JB Team of the Week and Rookie Watch coming to you, where we'll show you who's been balling this week. And we're bringing back the off-topic with some ice cream-related fun. So shut up. Sit down, because JBT is about to begin. Good morning, afternoon, or evening. From wherever you're listening across the world, welcome to this edition of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. My name is Nick Busing, and I don't have a random fact for today's show. I know.
You are a lazy man. Come on.
All right. I have eaten a lot of chocolate. I've eaten a lot of chocolate today. And that is a crazy. I had my brother-in-law's 30th. So I have eaten quite a lot of chocolate today. I also had chocolate for
breakfast.
Explain
the types of chocolate.
So
explain the types of chocolate you have eaten.
Well, there's like a little tub filled with confectionery at work, which is just a nightmare. Like, I can't help myself around that shit. So I've had, you know, the Freddo frogs. The top half is white, and the bottom half is milk chocolate. So I had, you know,
the best part.
I had a couple of those Mars, like the little fun size Mars bars, fun size Snickers. Some pods, like it's been a nightmare. It has been a bad day.
Pods,
today.
I miss pods.
Yeah, they're not in the UK, are they?
No, pods are the best. I'm gonna bring some over here when I come back home over Christmas.
They're pretty
Mars pods, yeah.
The what?
The Mars pods, yeah.
Oh, I had the I think I had the Mars. The Twix ones are pretty baller as well. They're all good. Yeah, like the Snickers ones are still good. Like they're still good.
Like, yeah, I ain't a peanut man, so.
Oh, mate. I went to Costco. Anyway, this is a completely. I bought the Reese's peanut butter cups from Costco. So good. And with me today on this episode 2.8, it's a bit of a late intro for you. We have the J-Man, Jack Manuel. I know it is, because that random fact starts a conversation, and then we conversate, if that's a verb. And
it is.
It ensues. Ooh, conversate. I like it.
Conversate ensues. Nick's using big words today,
indeed.
Big man.
Indeed. How are you, mate? This has been a good start.
I'm not feeling as fat as you, I guess, Nicholas. I'm just, you know, it's still early morning over here.
Mm.
There's been some more.
What was that, mate? You sort of cut out there a lot.
Has there been some wild weather back home?
Supposed to be. There was supposed to be. There's like they branded it as this massive hail, well, not hailstorm, but rain storm. We were supposed to get a lot of inches of rain, said your mum. She was also supposed to get a lot of inches. But it never happened. Also like your mum. So yeah, it was kind of a letdown. The eastern suburbs got it more than where I am in the west. So I was looking forward to some wild, crazy, torrential weather, but it never happened.
Yeah, Chelsea's used to having letdowns with you as well, Nicholas. Yes. So let's get to the Busick-Manuel Scale.
There is no news this week, because it has been 3 days between our last pod, so we've decided to, you know, hit you up.
Two pods in a week.
Yeah, I know, it's crazy. Not used to this stuff. So we've decided to hit you up with some Busick-Manuel Scale for all of your NBA needs. For those of you who are new to the podcast, this is a JBT scale created by us.
that sums up how likely things are to happen in the NBA, from news to rumors to any hot takes. We scale it on alternative fact, Twitter fact, Wikipedia fact, or just straight up fact. So we've got quite a few here to get through, mate. The first one, Zach Lowe posed on his podcast, DeAndre Jordan is a more wanted trade commodity than Marc Gasol. Hot takes.
Indeed, Bliss.
Hot takes.
It's a tricky one. I heard it, I'm like, and his reasoning for it, Zach Lowe's probably my favorite NBA analyst out of a whole bunch of great ones. He's very well measured, has great opinions, great articles. But with this, it's hard to fully agree with it. So I'm going to go with a Twitter fact. Just because I like Marc Gasol's game, his overall skill set is a bit more versatile.
His attitude, mate. He needs an attitude adjustment, I reckon.
Yeah, well, no, that's a fair call, Nick. But a Clippers article I put out yesterday on OTG Basketball, delved into a bit of the rumors surrounding DeAndre and his season so far. He's been going well. Like, he's second in the NBA in rebounding. He's still putting up buckets a little bit. His effective field goal percentage is still very high at about 65. But he's having, very low numbers. Like, numbers that are as low as since, Chris Paul arrived there. Now, that's to be expected, obviously. But, he's struggling on the defensive end as well. His rim protection is waning. He was one of the, the top 10 top 15 guys in that department last year with guys like Rudy Gobert. But this year he's allowing like almost 68% at the rim. And DeAndre's bread and butter is defending at the rim because we know he's not as versatile when it comes to defending the perimeter. He's not a Draymond Green by any stretch. So, he's struggling a little bit. And, the fact that now, with Blake Griffin out, the team's almost building around him. He did have a near 15-15 night against the Mavs, but, they went down by 26 points. Clippers are struggling, but I think he's wanted. I think it was the Bucks, the Wizards, the Timberwolves, and was it another team?
No, I think it was just those. Did you say four? Because there were four teams.
Yeah, it was Bucks, Wizards, Timberwolves.
I think Raptors Cavs? Were. Was it Raptors?
Or Raptors. No, it
was Raptors. Yeah.
Yeah, which is surprising to me because, and the thing is, I'm not sure. I get the interest from all those parties, but I don't know who's going to offer up the best, package. But for me personally, the reason why I just straight up, it's a Twitter fact for me because Marc Gasol, despite his relationships with former coaches, can shoot the three. He's versatile enough on the defensive end. He doesn't have to be paid after this season, whereas DeAndre is a free agent. So I'm not sure you're going to want to give up a ridiculous amount because he can just leave. He also doesn't have an agent currently either, so there's a couple of complexities surrounding it.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, just based on sheer talent, I guess, yeah, you'll be picking Marc Gasol every day of the week. Attitude adjustments can change from coach to coach, from organization to organization. It is pretty damning what he did to Fizdale. Like, that's some hardcore stab in the backery. Using that as a verb now. So, just making up words left,
verbatious,
right, and center, mate.
You're verbatious tonight.
That's it. DeAndre Jordan's probably an outdated center these days. Hasn't taken a three-point shot this season, which obviously is not how the Clippers play, and it's not. You do not want him taking threes. You don't want him jacking threes. But in a modern NBA, a center that doesn't shoot is a... What's the word I'm looking for? It's a... It's like it knocks you back. It's a weakness in your team, definitely, where you don't have to guard, where your center doesn't stretch the floor, which is what's starting to happen in modern NBA. So Marc Gasol at the 3-point line is what I would want in my centers these days. DeAndre still has a lot to offer though. You said that, I think you mentioned that his defensive numbers were waning a little bit, did you?
Yes.
I would still class him as a very serviceable defensive center. I haven't seen those dips, and I haven't heard those dips. I don't know if they're a common theme or I'm just ignorant.
Read my article, Nicholas.
All right. You've done the research on this one. I just feel with experience and how good of a defensive center he was, I feel that he still has a lot to offer in the league. But I don't agree with Zach Lowe as well, so I'm giving this a hashtag alternative. Like, Marc Gasol's a better player. There's no two ways around it.
That's fair.
It is fair, mate, because it's right. Hashtag hey. Better than Zach Lowe. Who is Zach who? Anyway. Zach who? Zach who? But, new one, mate. By the end of his career, Ben Simmons will be on LeBron's level of greatness. This is a hot take.
This is so hot, Nicholas.
It almost melted my computer screen. That's how hot this take is.
I'm going to put on the fan here, even though it's about 5 degrees Celsius. We posed this one on JBT earlier in the week on Facebook because in a Sports Illustrated article, it was revealed that during a workout pre-draft with LeBron James and Dwayne Wade, that LeBron said to Mr. Simmons, the Aussie boy, that he has the potential, the opportunity to be as good and as great as he is, but he can't skip any steps. Mm. He can't, take the easier path. Now, he is showing out in his opening season. And we know the close relationship that LeBron and Simmons have, having sharing the same agent with Clutch Sports. They've both got the utmost swag. Ben Simmons is already in the top five of jerseys sold. LeBron's always in the top two with that. But I can't... It's because it's so hard to envision 15 years in the future someone being as good as the second best player of all time that I have to give this an alternative fact because LeBron James for me...
You're killing me.
LeBron greatness, Nick, is...
That is a high level of greatness. But this guy has been...
It's like...
This guy has been talked up out of college as much as LeBron James. Like, LeBron out of high school was saying that he could be the greatest player ever. Like, yeah, that was straight out of high school. What we're seeing of Ben Simmons, I mean, a year out of... his level of IQ... His physicality, his length, his defensive prowess. It is... Tell me that it's not early LeBron James. LeBron James had a lot more meat on him. He was probably he was a lot more powerful than Ben Simmons. But his ability to get to the rim is amazing. It is simply amazing from a rookie.
Yeah, look, I'm not disputing the fact that Ben Simmons is an absolute... otherworldly talents, already cemented himself in probably the top 30 NBA players right now, and is probably going to earn himself an all-star spot due to his popularity alongside his teammate Ben Simmons. But LeBron's level of greatness is a rung under MJ's level of greatness. It is like the greatness, the greatest of greatness, Nick. It is so great that the greatness cannot be greatly described.
The greatest will always be overtaken. Like, if it's a matter of human evolution, we will always be better than our predecessor. Predecessor?
Predecessor. We get this basketball, mate. This is an evolution. Like, right now...
Right
is
now...
Is there anyone who's better... Is anyone better than Michael Jordan?
Yes.
Is there anyone better than LeBron James?
No. There is no one better than LeBron James. Yeah. At the moment. At the moment.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Ben Simmons is better, but why conform to the, it's too early to tell? Because it is way too early to tell. But we're not saying this. We're saying by the end of his career, he will be on LeBron's level of greatness. If he continues on his current trend, he will.
So you're saying he's going to win
I'm saying... Especially with the organization that he has seen himself in, which is a very good one, by the way. They are sitting 12 and 9? 12-9?
Yeah, sounds about right.
Extremely good Eastern Conference record, considering where they were last year. And this is the acquisition of who, Jack? Of Ben Simmons, of JJ Redick, of building this team around these young stars. And he's already showing such amazing talent now. 17 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists from a first-year player. There are kinks in his game, I'm not denying that. But I'm saying that in 5 years' time, in 15 years' time, when he is at LeBron's age, there is no telling where he can be. And if LeBron himself, if LeBron himself is saying that he can be at my level, then heck, why not? Let's give this a hashtag Twitter fact. I'm going high, mate. No, not Twitter. Wikipedia. Sorry, I was supposed to go the higher one. Not hashtag fact. Obviously, there are a lot of things that can go. Like, his foot is a big issue. He put on that little bit of weight, and then, there's such fragile bones in the foot. That's obviously going to be an issue and a recurring issue over his career. But you got to have faith, mate. You got to have faith. Got to be a little bit of George Michael and not get in a car accident, but have faith.
Look, I hear what you're saying, Nick, but just one final word on it. LeBron James, what makes him so great is the fact that he wants others to be awesome as well. He wants them to succeed, whereas a huge difference that he had from MJ. MJ was so individually driven. Was LeBron James wants everyone around him to be great. Now, it's just a personality trait that I really admire, and than MJ. But it's what separates him from the pack. And I don't think Ben Simmons, this is for me, LeBron James is the reason I follow basketball. So, like, it's hard to compare someone to who I think is the penultimate in terms of, you know, greatness in a sport that I love and admire. So I give it an alternative fact just because I can't see it happening. Ben Simmons has that ceiling, but that is a huge, huge ceiling. That's like the ceiling in like a 50-floor hotel room. Whereas, you know, if you were telling me like his ceiling is, you know, Rajon Rondo, he'll jump through the ceiling in like 2 years. But right now, you know, Ben Simmons, LeBron James dragged his team, his Cleveland Cavaliers, to a finals within his fourth season. I don't think Ben Simmons is that great that he can do it on his own. He needs Joel Embiid around him because for right now, Joel Embiid's better than him. Like, I don't think there's any arguing that. So, yeah, I hear what you're saying, Nick, jumping on the Aussie bandwagon. I'm all for Aussie Ben, and you know, if he's listening, then I will completely change my mind because I follow the trends and I will happily follow the bandwagon. But right now, LeBron is just too good.
You tell me who's the star of tell me who's getting more headlines in Philly right now.
Joel Embiid
or Ben Simmons is getting so much more attention. He's playing more games.
Are you kidding me?
Are you kidding, mate?
Nick, are we watching the same game? Are we watching the same team?
I don't know. Are we? Obviously not. Maybe I'm focusing
so you're
on the...
Saying
maybe I'm focusing on... I'm not saying that Ben Simmons is better. I'm saying who's getting more attention? Who will get more attention? Like, Embiid's... If you're talking about the game today, then, of course, Joel v. Drummond. Like, it was... That was headlined when the last time they played. See you December 2nd, mate. Like, that was always going to happen. Today or yesterday? It was yesterday. I don't know, mate. I think you're overlooking a superstar here.
Being a superstar, I'm just like saying that to be the best or the second best, you know, it's going to take more than initiation from the king himself.
He's a smart man. All right, we'll get to the next one. We spent ages on that one, but it was it was well worth it. Speaking of LeBron and the Cavs, they are absolutely balling right now on a 11-game winning streak, beating the Grizzlies to send them into an 11-game losing streak. So I pose this to you, mate. The Cavs are back as the best Eastern Conference team.
Yeah, I'm getting off the fence for this one, Nick. I'm going with the straight hashtag fact.
Ooh, straight fact. Love
right,
it.
Right, love straight it. Fact, straight factoid. Get it around it. You know, you can pen it in, pencil it in. Dwayne Wade has really adjusted his role. You know, LeBron James mentioned the fact that he might be sixth man of the year right now. I disagree. I think that's Tyreke Evans, a player who they versed last night. Kevin Love is doing some really nice things, really settling into his role. The one thing I'm a bit hesitant about is the fact that D-Rose and Tristan Thompson are both coming back, and that is going to affect not only with their chemistry, but also their on-court product, because right now they are able to space, they are able to create looks a lot better with guys like Channing Frye and Jeff Green and Kyle Korver, and only having a one ball handler out there like D-Wade, whereas you add in Derrick Rose, you add in Tristan Thompson, that clogs up the spacing quite a bit. That makes the ball a little bit more stagnant. So I'm a bit hesitant, but right now, when you've got LeBron James and you surround him with some very capable shooters and capable players, you can't really deny the fact that they're awesome. Boston are certainly hot in their heels. Detroit lost last night to Philly. I don't think they're in the same class. Milwaukee are on the up. They've been playing some really nice basketball. Toronto are still doing some good things, but when you got LeBron James playing some of his best basketball ever in his 15th freaking season, the man is superhuman.
His change to being a shooter has just been amazing. Like, gets injured in the off season or the preseason, and it's like, you know what? This shot's uncomfortable. We'll change it up. He changes it up. Yeah. He's the best. He's one of the best shooters in the freaking league. How does a person do that? That is absolutely phenomenal. Ben Simmons, mate, you got a lot to aspire to. But yeah, I'm giving this a hashtag fact. It was classic. It's classic Cavs, really. It took him LeBron 3 weeks to figure it out in Cleveland, and like I was getting skeptical. Like the problems that lost them the championship last year, the bad defense obviously was still there, but then their offense started just going to absolute trash. But they've 11 in a row, mate. You can't deny that, and the King has been a huge reason for that. Especially when your starting guard is Jose Calderon. Like, oh God, those words should never be uttered. Starting guard Jose Calderon.
Starting guard, yeah.
It should never be uttered. But he's making it work. They're so fun. They're back to like the Cavs that won that you know, 3-1 lead, mate. That's it. Stay woke. Back to that sort of fun, dynamic basketball. I don't think that bringing Thompson and Rose back will change a lot. Thompson, really? Maybe. Thompson, maybe. Thompson, probably. Because he's such a different player. Yeah. Because you're starting K Love in the at the center position. I don't see the massive change with Rose. I think Rose can be very dynamic and just sort of slot in, but Tristan Thompson could be problematic. And then when Isaiah Thomas comes back in, it's just going to get all better. I'm excited for the Cavs in the future, mate. I'm getting keen.
Oh man, it's gonna hopefully by the time I'm home, you know. Thomas is back and we can watch the Christmas games together because that's going to be super fun. By the way, they are now second in the East behind the Celtics, who beat the Suns last night. So they are hot on their tail. They're on an 11-game winning streak and it's looking like it's going to continue because they are balling out. Now, Nicholas, another team who has been balling out in the Eastern Conference. Pistons. The Detroit Pistons, my friend, will finish top four in the standings at the conclusion of the regular season. Where do you put this on our fame scale?
This is tough. Like, Eastern Conference is a tough conference. You know, 500 doesn't put you in the... it's 20 games in, granted, a bit more. But 500 doesn't get you in playoffs anymore. Well, not at the moment. And you've got the likes of the Knicks, the Wizards, the Bucks, the Sixers, all pushing for that, for playoff spots. You can't give them to it all, because Toronto seemed to have completely turned ship from what they were last year. Seemed to have figured figured everything out there. Cavs and Boston always there. And Pistons, again, out of nowhere. The improvement from Drummond, the all-star caliber play from Tobias Harris. Again, a sentence I never thought I'd be uttering. It's crazy.
Tobias!
I've absolutely loved the Pistons this year. It hasn't been that sort of rough and tumble game. It's been fast. It's been efficient. Stan Van has done some good work. And needs a lot of props for DeAndre's improvement as well at the free throw line. I think that he had a I would think that he had a massive impact in that. But to answer the question as a top four, I'm giving this a Twitter. Like, I expected them to fall off much like the Magic did when they both started real hot. They've stayed true. Their stars are performing, and there's three of them, which is very convenient, and they are stars, the way that they're playing at the moment. I just, from what I've seen from the Bucks, the Wizards, and all of those in contention, I think they've got a pretty solid spot for a home court playoff advantage this year, which is crazy to say.
It is, especially after last season, but it's almost like last year was an aberration, because the season before, they were looking like they were up on that upward trend.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone was asking when they're going to make this jump. When is Reggie Jackson going to be the point guard that everyone, you know, thought he was going to be on that trade?
Yeah, and I mean, his role has lessened somewhat, and they're getting a lot more of a team effort, and Tobias Harris and Andre Drummond are certainly leading the show. They're both playing all-star caliber play, but I agree, Nick. I'm giving this a Twitter just because I don't think you can discount them at all. But the Bucks are certainly hot on their tail, winning three straight. Eric Bledsoe looks to be fitting in nicely. Low key, they're doing some really good things. Their defense has improved markedly. Your Wizards are certainly a contender when John Wall gets back. If you can somehow stay around that mark, say a couple of games above 500. You know, you reintegrate probably the best point guard in the East. I certainly think the Wizards, who are seventh right now, can make a push there. And hot in their tails right now, just one or two games behind them, is the 76ers, the guys who beat them last night. Now, I think the Sixers are the most likely to probably drop off a little bit, just due to their relative health and inexperience. You look at Simmons, who's missed a game or two. Embiid, always misses, you know, 20, 30 games if the trends are to continue. So I think the Bucks and Wizards are their two biggest contenders for that four spot. And when you've got the Bucks, who are looking quite comfortable, I think that they take it. So I think Twitter is a really good choice.
Yeah, no, that's fair. It's like you said, I think the 76ers will taper off eventually. It's a long season after all. Who knows with injury concerns over Embiid and Simmons and all that. Good stuff there, Jackie. Pistons are absolutely firing at the moment. A team who is in struggle street at the moment, the Oklahoma City Thunder. And it poses this question, mate. Billy Donovan is in danger of losing his job. Any thoughts? Mate, what do you got on this one, mate?
I've got a straight-up fact for this one, Nick. Post-game comments a few games ago following the loss, I think it was to the Magic, Royce Young, who was a beat writer for the Oklahoma City Thunder, said that Donovan talked a lot post-game about trying to help the players see his vision. Now, meaning, obviously, ball movement and player movement. So you read between the lines there, and it sounds like he has a team that's not doing what he wants them to do. And they're almost, you know, discounting his instructions and playing their own type of ball. Now, when the Thunder are good, they are freaking good. They are one of the best teams. I mean,
you see them.
NBA.
You see them beat the Golden State Warriors. Like, smack
exactly.
them.
Exactly. I think one thing, and we saw the other night in a in another win where Paul George starred and Steven Adams was 11-11 from the field, but Carmelo Anthony only had, you know, less than 10 shots. I think that's what's the key. I think Melo needs to realize that he's not the guy anymore. He's not even the second guy. He is the other guy. He is the guy that should fill in those gaps. And it's hard for a guy who's been such, like, who's been the focal point of so many offenses across his career. He's a straight-up baller when it comes to getting buckets, but he needs to realize what his role is. Know your role, as they say. And I think, I don't think Billy Donovan has the reps, the cojones. He's not Brad Stevens. He's not Greg Popovich. We saw what happened with Fizdale.
Yeah.
Due to his relationship with his players. And if you can't get the best, if Billy Donovan can't go up to his players and go like, look, Melo, you're going to the bench. That's what you need to do. That's what's required of you if we want to be a championship team. And I think that would create a lot of uproar. And I think Billy Donovan, when you've got three huge personalities, two especially, because I think Paul George is a bit more cooperative, like a Russell Westbrook, like a Carmelo Anthony. You know, you're walking on hot coals there. But I think he's certainly in danger of it if, you know, I give them another, you know, 10, 15 games. And if they're still struggling, they're still not in that playoff race, you know, they're ninth right now behind the Jazz, then I think, you know, a change has to be made. Whether that's Billy Donovan being fired, whether that's Paul George being traded. Because there's so many scenarios that are being thrown up in the air because they've got to figure it out. Because when they're good, they're great. When they're bad, they're terrible.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, a bit of a misleading stat line is their defensive rating. They're third in defensive rating, but they're losing games, which is just, like, is it a good defense? Can you say that their defense is good? I'm not convinced because they can't score buckets. I mean, one of the best offenses is a good defense, as the old proverb goes, and their offense is 21st. They can't score buckets. They're not moving the ball. Too much ISO play. Melo needs to stop being a baby. Look at LeBron James. Look at LeBron James, mate. He has changed his game significantly to, you know, keep up with the league. Granted, he hasn't needed to... He has never, ever, ever been benched. He's never, ever been a sole scorer. He's also been assisting. When your only skill is scoring, and even that is waning on you, when your style of play is iso ball, you need to think about what's best for the team. You can completely understand that your strengths lie in your iso ball, your ability to fake out opponents and get tough jumpers in. Like, he still averages above 40%. For the types of shots he's making, that is great. For the types of shot he's taking, that is a great percentage. Now, I'm not denying his shoot ability. But in a modern NBA, stagnant movement is not good movement. You want your starters to be your dynamic bunch. You want your starters to lead by example and not show any of this hero ball crap. Because they're losing games because of it. And it's just a shame because Billy Donovan's going to lose his job. And I've got a hashtag fact with this as well. Because if they continue down this road, he will get fired. There is no doubt about it. He's got three All-Stars in his team and he can't control them.
Yeah, I like what you're saying there. I like the subtle comparison to LeBron James. But I'll throw out another one for you, Nick. You look at his teammate, Dwayne Wade, how he's being able to swallow his ego and go, okay, look, maybe it is better if I come off the bench for the team.
That's right. It's just right a matter now, of maturity.
He's playing inspired basketball, Dwayne Wade. He's in the sixth man of the year conversation. And he's just knowing the fact that, look, I'm 35 years old right now. I'm not going to be able to do the things I can for a sustained period of time. I can't do it for 35 minutes a night. I can do it for 28. I can, you know, certainly provide energy when needed and I can really help my team in this role. But I think that the stubbornness of Melo is clearly evident. And when you've got Dwayne Wade and LeBron James. I think those guys are a little bit more adaptable, a little bit more flexible. But yeah, Nicholas, speaking of another great who is in his prime, mind you, Kevin Durant earlier in the week spoke to the Mercury News, and he made some really, really interesting, thought-provoking comments. So I pose to you, Kevin Durant is right in his comments that he made a few weeks ago regarding race and status. Damn, that's all I'm good for? Look, if I wasn't a basketball player, what kind of man would they look at me as?
This all stems from his shirt that he was wearing. Say, "Stay Black." Am I correct in saying that? Yeah. It is a damning sort of insight into how America's going at the moment. Racism is still a very prevalent thing. I think it's not just an American issue; it's a worldwide issue. That is, there's definitely prejudice all over the world at the moment. And it's just a shame that in 2017, close to 2018, that this is still a problem. Is he right in his comments that he's made about his status? Absolutely. Stay woke. Yep. Stay woke, Kevin. He's just bringing to light a problem that has been prevalent in the world for a long time. You know, more awareness means we can combat it more. It's a bit of a... not really a basketball topic, but what's your take on this one, mate? You're a bit of a political man yourself.
We both have a bit of a dabble. We both have mentioned Donnie T in the past, but mm-hmm. I think what Kevin is saying...
Please don't call him Donnie T. ever again. Please don't.
Okay, KD, I think it is really... starting to mature as not only a basketballer, but as a man. And, you know, he's realizing his position in today's NBA and his position in society can have a real influence on those around him, whether they be whatever race or creed. Now, he knows that he's obviously and clearly a proud African-American man, and as he should be, because he's making some great strides in that sense. You know, you look at KD a few years ago, I think, you know, everyone's starting to come into their own in today's political and social age. But the question itself that he posed is, like, if he wasn't a basketballer, what would I be? Like, I think how, you know, some people who may have those prejudices, which are obviously stemmed in hate and bigotry, the reason why they have them is and why they don't have them towards a LeBron James, towards a Kevin Durant, towards a Dwayne Wade or whoever it is because, look, those guys to me are outside of the realm of what is known as a black person. These guys aren't colloquially black. They are black athletes, which is a completely different subset.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that is completely... And that is absolutely narrow-minded as shit.
Mm.
And, you know, you go anywhere, it's like, we've seen the whole political age right now, like, stick to sports, stick to what you are. And it's just like, no, these guys aren't, like, athletes. They aren't defined by... what they do, like, more than, you know, what they do. We are more than the best podcasters of the NBA in the entire world.
That is true.
Everyone is so much more whole than that. And I think KD is really shining a light on that. And I was surprised to reverberate a little bit more. But obviously, if they were to come from LeBron James, maybe it might be a little bit different. But he was, you know, in GQ's Athlete of the Year alongside Colin Kaepernick. And I think he's leading the way, KD, and I'm really respecting, despite the fact that he can be a bit of a dick on the court and he's a little bit immature in that sense, off the court he's really finding who he is. And the NBA, with players like KD, LeBron, and the like, is really heading in the right direction. And I wrote an article, I think I read it on probably I think our first pod, and Bradley Beal's comments saying how, you know, athletes today, we really can make a difference. And that's being shown by Kevin Durant right here. And, you know, power up. And unlike Kyrie, he is staying woke for positive reasons.
That's it. Yeah, I mean, we're more than sacks of meat that perform on cue for people's entertainment. Everyone's got their voice. Everyone's they're all taxpayers in America. They all have their say on who runs their country. And they've got opinions, just like every single one in the world. Just because... they've got an outlet in which to share those feelings. Some people want to hear it, some people don't. Who cares? That's what you know, that's what capitalism that is. That's what democracy is. Everyone gets their say, even if you don't like it. Deal with it, mate.
Damn straight.
Or you can go to, I don't know, Korea. You can get out. Exactly.
Bang. Kim Jong-un, we don't want to start a nuclear war on JBT, Nick, so let's get to our next topic quickly.
We actually might take a break. I need a drink, mate. We've been talking for 40 minutes. This is like a personal best. Good for us. We've got more Busick Manuel Scale, JB Team of the Week, after this.
You listen to JBT Podcast. Make sure to give us a follow on Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to JBT Podcast. We're still here with the Busick Manuel Scale. Looking at the recent firing of a Fizdale,
take that for that.
The relationship between star player and coach has become too much in favor of the player. I've been voicing this one for a while. So you know my stance on this one. I think this one's a very much a hashtag fact.
Yep.
Jackie boy, what are your thoughts on it, mate?
Yeah, look, I agree with you, Nick. For those that don't know, Nick has been a big advocate of letting coaches coach, and I wholeheartedly agree. The fact is, in today's NBA, the fall, and in most sports, the fall guy is always the coach. I think in some cases that can be fair. You look at maybe like an Earl Watson out in Phoenix. You know, he was, I think, in terms of that sense, he was probably, him and Bledsoe were the main reasons why they have been playing so poorly. And we look at them now, Bledsoe's gone, Watson's gone, and they seem to be going okay. Not amazing. But with the firing of Fizdale, it Mike Conley came out during the week saying he almost had to play mediator between the two, which is something that you don't want a player to be doing, let alone one of your franchise cornerstones in Conley. You know, when it comes to the best NBA coaches, Steve Kerr, Greg Popovich, Eric Spoelstra, Mike D'Antoni, these guys can coach and these guys are allowed to do their thing. These guys are given free rein of how to control and coach their players. Guys that are in Fred Hoiberg, David Fizdale, I mean, you could even say Doc Rivers is in that bunch, but I think he's coming out of that more recently. You know, the more rookie coaches aren't given the freedom to impose their will on their team. And I think that has an effect on the locker room and on just on the general dynamics of the team. You need the players to have, you know, in basketball anyway, because you know we're a basketball podcast, we can speak about many other sports, but in basketball, you need the coach to have that respect, to be able to command that respect. You need the coach to be able to go, look, this is what you're doing, this is what needs to happen. I spoke about it with Billy Donovan, but right now it is a star-driven league. You know, people go to watch John Wall, LeBron James, Russell Westbrook. They don't go there to see, you know, Greg Popovich. Though I would love that to happen. I would love to go to a game and see Greg Popovich out there. He and Steve Kerr are as much of my idols as any players are right now.
yeah, that's fair.
But, you know, when it comes to Spoelstra and the like, that's different. So, yeah. Nick, I'm jumping on board with you, mate. Hashtag fact, you're a smart man.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, you can't let your player run your organization. You hire a coach for a reason. You hire a coach to contain your players and play the way that you want to play. You fire a coach if those things don't align. Not because your star player doesn't like being benched, because you're losing games. I admire Fizdale's courage to do that. Unfortunately, it didn't work out for him. But yeah, you all know my takes on that one. One last one quickly here, mate. This happened today, Denver Nuggets v. Lakers. Jamal Murray's move at the end of the Lakers game against Lonzo, where he sort of dribbled around him, and the Lakers players did not like that one. That move itself was very disrespectful. Where you at on this one, mate?
Yeah, I'm going to give it a cheeky wiki because I think Jamal knew what he was doing. I think Lonzo just happened to be the guy that was there. Lonzo is obviously a very stoic personality. He doesn't really give a shit. We saw, you know, when the whole kerfuffle happened a few weeks ago, that he just let it be. But it's good to see that his teammates are still sticking up for him. And I think that's always going to be the case, because Lonzo has a good rapport with all of them, despite the whole overblown incident when that, you know, that kerfuffle with Kuzma and the like was happening. So, yeah, it was a little bit disrespectful, but, like, you know, but anything that involves Lonzo is going to get coverage.
Yeah, of course.
We're guilty of that because we're speaking about it right now.
Exactly.
But, yeah, it's it doesn't really make a difference, because next week we're going to be moving on to the next thing. Like,
yeah, exactly. Lonzo Ball gets an earring. Move on, yeah.
The world shocked.
Yeah. It was disrespectful, though. I mean, you don't do that at the end of the game. I'm giving this a hashtag fact. I think that he did know what he was doing. I think he would have picked Lonzo out. And it just shows him up. But it doesn't, because it's just a dick move from Murray. Like, why? You've won the game. Who cares? And with all the, again, with all the coverage that Lonzo's been getting, anything that happens to him, these players will stick up for him. Walton's already said that they all love Lonzo, despite the fact that Lonzo's a very stoic, like you said, he's a very stoic post, very non-confrontational when you compare him to LaVar. So, you know, he wasn't going to do anything to Jamal Murray. I'm sure he doesn't even care that that happened.
Yeah.
But his players will back him up 110%. I admire that from the Lakers. It was a dick move from Murray. I just, yeah, appreciate Randall and all that sort of sticking up for him. So, good on them.
Very quickly, though, Nick, before we go on, no person can give more than 100%. 100% is the most one person can give. So, 110%.
Not possible.
It's an alternative fact.
Touche. All right, with that, let's go to JB Team of the Week. Curry, we don't have
JB Team of the Week.
Yes, welcome to JB Team of the Week. For those of you who are new to the podcast, this is where Jack and myself recognize the players that have been outstanding in their position. Each week, five players get chosen, and the players who feature most at the end of the year will make JB Team of the Year. And the individual player that makes the most appearances at the end will be crowned JBT MVP. So, Jack, we'll start here with the backcourt. At point guard, Kyle Lowry scored a season-high 36 points, 8 three-pointers from Lowry there, combined with 6 assists, 5 rebounds, and a steal to lead the Raptors over a nice win against the Hornets. Raptors balling out there, and Lowry's seemed to found some form there. Shooting guard. Now, here's a player that's rising up the ranks on Rookie Watch in Utah's 114-104 win. Donovan Mitchell obliterated the Pelicans with 41 points, 13 of 25 shooting, including 9 of 11 from the free throw line. So very nice fundamentals there from Mitchell. It was only a matter of time, the amount of volume that he is shooting this year. Utah have put him a lot of responsibility in his hands. So well done there from the rookie. Mate, let's take the front court. Well, you can take it.
Front court at the small forward position. When Paul George plays well, the Thunder play well. In the team's win over the T-Wolves, he had 36 points, 9 assists, 4 rebounds, and 3 blocks. Very nice stat line from PG-13. At the power forward position, Aaron Gordon to lead the Magic to an unlikely win over the Thunder. He put up 40 points, including 6 threes, 15 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 steals, and 1 block in a masterful all-round performance.
Oh, such a good game
and
for him.
So good. Very good game. He is having a great season. Absence at a center position. In the absence of Kawhi Leonard, LaMarcus Aldridge has led the way for the Spurs, and he did so yet again against the Grizzlies with a 41-point performance, tying a career-best 3 of 3 from the perimeter and going with 6 rebounds, an assist, and a block. LaMarcus has been playing well, and with that, the Spurs have. That is our JB Team of the Week.
LaMarcus has been playing well. So, like, all those sort of preconceptions about him have gone out the window now that Kawhi's gone. So, recap, we've got Lowry Donovan Mitchell, Paul George, Aaron Gordon, and LaMarcus Aldridge making JB Team of the Week. Bit of a different bunch there. I like it. Yeah, some fresh blood, some young blood. All right, let's move on to Rookie Watch. For those of you who are new, this is where we rank the rookies based on their performances of the week, which has only been 3 days, and we award 1, 2, or 3 votes. We'll tally all those at the end of the year to determine who wins JBT Rookie of the Year. We've got our own little award system going. We'll see how they correlate to the new ones. So, with one vote, L. Markkanen. Lauri Markkanen continued his great form for the Bulls in his team's one-point loss to the Nuggets. Unfortunately, in a loss there, but he's been posting some nice numbers. He posted a line of 20 points, 9 rebounds, and 1 block. Well done from Markkanen there, the only sort of beacon coming out of Chicago there. Two votes, Suns rookie Jay Jackson. Josh Jackson makes his first appearance on Rookie Watch with a 20.7 rebounds, including 3 offensive rebounds, 1 assist, 3 steals in a loss to the Pistons there. Mate, take the 3 points away. I think it's pretty self-explanatory.
Right. Rightio, I think for those that have been listening for the past minute would know that the 3 votes goes to D. Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell had one of the best rookie games ever against the Pelicans. The number 13 overall draft pick set the Jazz scoring record for a rookie and became the first NBA rookie to score 40 points in a game since Blake Griffin in 2011. He joined some very illustrious company, LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony, Kevin Durant, Eric Gordon, Steph Curry, and Blake Griffin as the only active players to score 40 points as rookies. He's going to be okay, this kid.
You can say that again. He's been having such... Like I said, the ball's been in his hands so much for the Jazz. He's putting up so many shots. It was only a matter of time before majority of them started finding the net, and over the years he will become an even more impressive shooter. Yeah, props to Mitchell there taking the 3 points, mate. Guess what it's time for?
Yeah,
it's time for some off topic.
How about we play the basketball?
What the heck are you talking about?
Now the question is, pants or shorts?
Sandwiches, toasted or fresh?
He just sits on people.
That is complete shit.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Off topic.
Off topic.
Off topic.
Off topic.
Yes, welcome to Off Topic. It's exactly what it sounds like. We take a break from basketball. We talk about something completely random. Jack, what is Off Topic this week? I'm excited.
You are very excited because it revolves around food, Nicholas.
Yum, yum.
My girlfriend was lovely enough to buy me an ice cream maker as a birthday present.
Ooh.
So we're going to have a tasty talk about some ice cream. Now, Nick, I'm going to quickly go through a BuzzFeed quiz and I'm going to ask you some questions and you are going to find out which ice cream flavor are you.
All right.
So, Nick, how do you take your ice cream? 1 scoop in a cup, 2 scoops in a cup, 3 scoops in a cup, 1 scoop in a cone, 2 scoops in a cone, 3 scoops in a cone. Nick, which one?
Is the cone waffle?
We'll go. Nick, it doesn't specify, but I can't.
This is why the integrity of BuzzFeed quizzes are just—it's just not up to scratch, Jack. I'll go 3 in a cup. I like the good.
Cup,
it's
right.
Very European.
It sounds like a. Yep, it sounds very dirty. You saying 3 scoops in a cup? No, it says pick a summer destination. So a lot of these are very American-based. Martha's Vineyard, LA, Cape Cod, Rio de Janeiro, the Hamptons, or the French Riviera.
French Riviera, because I've been there. I've also been to LA, but
rightio.
LA was dirty. Give me Nice any day.
It's all right. It's not too... Yep. So your favorite topping, whipped cream, marshmallow sauce, colored sprinkles, strawberries, hot fudge, or caramel sauce?
Def's whipped cream. Love me some cream.
Oh, hot fudge.
Oh,
idiot.
No way. Cream is amazing.
You love cream.
I love,
you love cream.
Yes, I love down my face and my lower back. Love me some cream.
It says this is an odd question for an ice cream theme, but it says pick a fake romance novel. So the titles are Last Tango for Love, I Want All Your Love, Warm Me Up, Picked from the Love Vines, The Business of Love, or Your Refreshing Kiss.
What the hell? Give me the warm one. I like things that are warm all over my face and down my lower back. Mate, then I am destroying it today.
You're doing very well, man. You are at the beach, my friend. What are you doing? Are you sitting in a chair on a little bit of a picnic with friends, taking a dip in the water, tanning so everyone can see, wishing you were indoors, and what aren't I doing? That's an odd...
Yeah, that's odd. Yeah. I'm definitely in the water. I'm taking a dip. Every time I go to the beach, yep, I'm swimming.
Best ball around, play catch the ball, the best game of all.
Indeed.
Now it says, what's the ideal summer temperature? So these are in Fahrenheit for our American listeners, which we have plenty of. So we'll have to do the conversions in our head. I might need Ali. I need a bit of help here. We've got Fahrenheit. I don't know how to convert it. So it says we've got 60 degrees, 65, 70, 75, 85, 90. What's that in Celsius, babe?
Just give me the hottest. Just give me the hottest one. Just give me the hottest one, mate.
Like 18 to
36. All right, so. 36, Nick, you're going 36 degrees.
Oh, no, that's probably a bit too hot. Give me 30. Give me 30.
All right, we'll go with 85 then. All right, that seems a bit more reasonable. So, this is a good question. There's an ice cream avalanche coming. What do you do? Do you, A, ski down it? Do you fly away in a helicopter, help your friends escape, hunker down in the ski lodge, get ready to eat your way out, and give in to the creamy crush?
I give in. I'm definitely eating my way out. Like, there is no doubt about it. Who wouldn't?
I'd be willing to die for that. I thought you would give in to the creamy crush as well. I thought that is just a good line.
That is a good line.
I think I'm going to use that as a line with Ali if I'm ever feeling a bit frisky. If you drove an ice cream truck, Nicholas, what song would it play? Flawless by Beyonce, Breathe Me by Sia, Candyman by Christina Aguilera, Firework by Katy Perry, Peaches and Cream by 112, or Piece of My Heart by Janis Joplin?
Probably Candyman. It's very relevant.
Yeah, that's fair.
Candyman.
It is. I would go with Flawless by Beyonce because I'm a flawless, strong, independent woman.
Damn right.
Now... choose your ideal summer footwear, Nick. I think this is very easy, but we might have to fancy it up a little bit to get the Aussie vernacular in there. So it says sneakers, fancy sandals, dress shoes, barefoot boots, and flip-flops, which are thongs.
Thongs.
They are thongs. They are not flip-flops.
Jandals.
Thongs.
Jandals.
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 What? Yep, rightio. We're going the flippies. We're going the thongarinos.
Thongarinos.
Now, final question. Choose a summer treat besides ice cream. Ooh. Popsicles, which are icy poles.
Yep.
Sweet tea, iced coffee, Arnold Palmer, which I think is a cocktail.
Lemon.
Yeah, so I thought it was a cocktail. Give me a cold, fresh beer, a VB or a carton drink, or a mojito.
I'd take a popsicle just because they're the closest thing to a Zupa Duper, and they're amazing.
Yeah, get a Zoops or get a... And Nick, you are... what freaking flavor are you? It doesn't say. It doesn't say what flavor you are.
What was the point of all this?
It actually didn't come up with it.
Oh, what an absolute flop. I'm flavorless. That's what I have.
you're like, is every... remember on The Simpsons how it's like, do they come two in every flavor? Nope. All, everything...
Yeah.
That's you.
Oh.
That is disappointing. I'm going to find you a different one, Nick. I'll get you another one.
Please don't. I'm not sitting through another bloody quiz. All right. Mate, what's your favorite ice cream?
Which Ben and Jerry's ice cream flavor are you? All right, we'll smash through this. All right, so when are you most likely to get ice cream? Whenever you're happy, during the golden hour, middle of the night, whenever you please.
Nah, middle of the night.
Or when
middle
it's
of
hot.
Night.
Middle of the night.
Yeah, easy.
All righty.
Easy.
Pick a movie. When Harry Met Sally, Harold and Kumar, The Goonies, Old School, Apollo 13, or Forrest Gump?
Gumpo. Give me some Gump.
Gumpo.
Love me Gumperino. Some Forrest.
Which issue are you most passionate about? Education, hunger, the children, all the issues, legalizing, Mary J, or freedom?
Give me the kids. Got to do it for the kids, Vince. Do it for the kids.
Someone please think of the children. Where would you like to live, my friend? Would you like to live in Vermont, San Francisco, USA suburbia, Manhattan, LA, or wherever you can make a name for yourself?
A Manhattan. That is a definite Manhattan. Love me the big apples.
Balling it up in the Empire State of Mind.
Love me some apples.
New York, City of Apples.
The City of Apples.
Pick a book, Lord of the Rings, War and Peace, Freakonomics, Where the Sidewalk Ends on the Road, or Bossy Pants by Tina Fey.
Lord of the Rings, easy, fantasy, done.
I like Freakonomics, though. And Jack Kerouac's on the road's pretty good. How do you want to spend your Saturday, Nicholas? It is Sunday, but next Saturday, are you going to be rocking out a romantic picnic of cheese with your dog? packed with fun activities at the mall, sleeping and then partying, or chilling with your friends?
Why isn't playing computer games an option? I guess I'd be chilling with my mates. I don't know.
You don't have any friends.
I don't. That's the thing. Like, this is a paradox for me. I'd be working, if anything, on the weekend.
All right. You got to pick a drink. We got a Budweiser. We got a kombucha. We got whiskey. We got craft beer. We got a Bloody Mary. Or we got a margarita.
Yeah, just give me a craft beer. Love me some crafties.
Yep.
None of this Bud all bullshit.
Right, get around the crafties. You bogan. Describes you, Nicholas. Are you curious? Are you chill? Are you eccentric? Are you yay? Are you a fighter or are you Musk?
I am very Musk. Chill. I'm so chill. If I get any more chill, right, I would be frozen.
What's cool, the man cool, Nick?
Ice cold.
Now, speaking of, you need to pick a music festival. We got Coachella, we got Woodstock, we got Bonnaroo, we got the Gathering of the Juggalos.
Coachella. You don't even have to finish it, mate. Coachella's goat.
I have been there. It is one of the best experiences of the life. Now, your biggest problem, Nicholas, in life is your stupid job, your insomnia, the government, your penis is too big. You want me to pick just one, or you eat, drink, or smoke too much? It's definitely not the penis one.
It is definitely the penis one. Jack, I mean, come on.
So Nick, you are late night snack. You might have up your mind whether you're salty or sweet, but no matter, you are fucking hilarious, just like the man himself, Jimmy Fallon. Seems about right.
Yep, I am. I'm a funny man. So that was a grueling ordeal. Right.
That was hilarious. For those that weren't inspired or amused by that, then you should probably stop listening to JBT, because
like, this is the shit. Substance of JBT. Like, we do BuzzFeed quizzes,
and they are the best. And I'm once we go to the outro and finish it off, I'm going to do that one myself because I want to see what type of ice cream I am.
It's actually a good one, the Jimmy Fallon one. Like, I miss Ben and Jerry's, mate. I miss being in London and Ben and Jerry's being £2.50 on special. God damn. So good.
I'm going to buy
12 Australian dollars here. God.
Isn't that like the tiny one as well?
No, it's the same. It's the pint. I'm pretty sure it's the pint size. So, like, still.
That's like £7.
It's ridiculously expensive. Yeah, it is about £7. You're paying for some ice cream. It's bloody ridiculous, mate.
On that wonderful cold deliciousness, we need to end our podcast, don't we, Nicholas?
Yes, we do. Some nice ice cream talk there. Kind of. Like, a lot of it was asking me questions that weren't related to ice cream at all. but, you know, I digress. Whatever.
I think we should probably rename our podcast just Ice Cream Things, NBA podcast.
Every week, talk about a new flavor of ice cream. We could spend an hour speaking about
it. I'd be down for that.
That'd be cool. That would be cool.
Look, if you're talking about vanilla and you add some sprinkles in there and with the variation, we may need to revisit that off topic.
Definitely. All right. Just as ever, guys, thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of Just Ball Things NBA podcast. You can find us on iTunes or Blog Talk Radio. And remember to rate and review the show. Helps us out heaps, and so we appreciate the ratings. You can contact us at the JmanJBT or JBTNick, is myself, on Twitter. You should also hit up at OTG Basketball. We can read some awesome NBA articles written by the man himself, Jack, and heaps of other fire content. We've got Facebook, so just search Just Ball Things and you'll find us. You can hit us up on email and we'll read the emails on the show, jbtpodcast@gmail.com. Remember, it's you guys that make this show great, so we appreciate any and every post heading our way. So until next week,
keep ice creaming, superstars.